Our scripture lesson this morning is the continuation of the scripture lesson from last week. Last week we read the 15th chapter of John, verses 1 through 8. And today we pick up with the next verse, verse 9, and read 8 more verses through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. For God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, again, happy Mother's Day. Before I came to church today, I had a little bit of time, and I was just sort of thumbing through my Facebook feed and looking at all the postings about mothers. I'd put one about my mother, and there are so many that put there, and it's interesting to see the comments of as they put them, and you know, some are active mothers now with little kids, and some are putting about their mother that raised them, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, Mom, I am your legacy. I am, you know, thank you for all the things you did for me in my life. There was some sort of poignant ones, happy Mother's Day to Mother in Heaven, sorts of things. But I think it has a lot to do with what these scriptures are about, these last two Sundays, about the fruit of our lives and how the influence that we have, whether you're a mother or whether you are the child of a mother or whether you are a father or the child of a father, whatever you're doing, you have a sphere of influence. You have people that you work with, you have people in your family, you have people that you possibly coach, you have people that you possibly teach. If you're in medicine, you have people that you care for. And all of these things are our spheres of influence. And what we found out last week was that because we are abiding in Jesus, that fruit happens. That fruit is going to be grown by just our lives being in contact with these other lives. And it can be any of these places that you are in your life, that fruit is going to happen. And it's a good time to think about that, because these are times right now, especially I think May, it's such a change month, you know? I mean, we have, you know, happy graduation day to the St. Andrew's graduates today. It's a time of graduation. And as happy as that is, when you graduate from college, you've got some pretty live existential questions about what do I do next? You know, am I going to get a job? Am I going to go to graduate school? I'm going to move into mom and dad and live in their basement. You know, what am I going to do? And then at every level below that, we have some high school graduates. You know, where are we going to go next year? You know, it affects the moms. The moms, if their child's graduating, that's kind of a sad thing too. at every level, at middle school, going up to high school, it's scary, you know, all of those things. And so this is a month where we really need to know that we're abiding in the vine. And at the same time, we need to know that as we're abiding in the vine, that we still are having influence and we're still bearing fruit. The thing about John is that it's almost Jesus said so many things. This is, of course, the night that of the Last Supper, right before he's crucified. He said so many things that you can almost take any sentence and go with it. It's they're a lot of times not really connected very well. So I'm going to focus on a couple of things for us. And I think part of it is to just give you some encouragement tonight, today, as we face all these changes in our lives. Have you heard of this new condition that has been caused by the pandemic? It's called FOGO, F-O-G-O. Yeah, I've been reading about this. FOGO, fear of going out. And it's actually, they're treating it as a condition of the pandemic, that we've gotten so used to being so insulated and comfortable in our homes that social interaction is a little scary now. And so all these things contribute for us to make this time of May kind of stressful. And so I'd like to look at one verse in particular today as we start out. And it's things that we can rejoice about, okay? And that's verse 11. Verse 11 in our passage today. Jesus says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Now, we always have to say when we talk about joy that there's a difference between joy and happiness. And that happiness is circumstantial. Happiness, something good happens and you're happy. Wake Forest wins at football, I'm happy. They lose, I'm sad. In the past few years, I've been more sad than I have been happy. If you root for Clemson, the opposite. But if you root for Wake, you're sad more of the time. But that has nothing to do with joy. Joy is that underlying thing of feeling God's presence in you, feeling the Holy Spirit in you, being able to rejoice that you are in the hands of a loving God that gives you grace. That's what joy is. It's not affected by circumstance. And sometimes we let it, and sometimes we have to kind of dig down deep and find that joy, but it's there. So the first thing is just to say, rejoice that you are abiding in Jesus, and that you are accepted by God. You know, we struggle with acceptance most of our lives to feel accepted, and yet the ultimate acceptance is with God. And I want to bring back a quote I found a few weeks ago from Paul Tillich. He says, sometimes a wave of light breaks into our darkness, and it is as though a voice were saying, you are accepted, you are accepted, accepted by that which is greater than you, and the name of which you do not know. Do not seek for anything, do not perform anything, do not intend anything. Simply accept the fact that you have been accepted. If that happens to us, we experience grace. And that's what the rejoicing today about abiding in the vine is, that we rejoice that we are accepted by God based on nothing that we've done, but because God is good. And I think that, you know, when you realize that you have been called to something, that there's joy in that. The old thing that the place God calls you to is where the world's deep need and your deep gladness meet. That there is that deep gladness of having an effect on people around you, of the people that you've been charged with at work, but in your family and your friends also, that you're going to bear fruit and you're going to positively affect people around you, and that's going to give you joy. Okay, the second one is thing to rejoice about is in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Rejoice that you have been chosen. Now, I want to tell you, there have been whole denominations that have been formed on what this verse means here. Did God choose us, or did we choose God? You know, how much of it is our choice and how much of it is God's choice? In theology, it's called the subjective-objective problem. I'm not going to get into that. If this was a Bible study, I would get into it, and I would do a diagram of TULIP, and I would do all this stuff. I'm going to let Professor Capps do that for us sometime. But right now, I'm just going to talk about us being chosen based on this one thing, and that is that you're here. You are here today. You're here on a Sunday morning, sitting in this pew, making an effort, or you're listening. You've tuned in. You're listening on the radio, or you're listening on the internet. Why are you doing that? There are a lot of people who aren't. You know, there are a lot of people that are doing other things. They're playing golf this morning. They're playing tennis. They're lying out on the beach. They're driving somewhere. But you came. You came here. And that's an amazing, amazing thing, that you came here. And that just shows you that God, somewhere in your life, God has touched you. Somewhere in your life, God has shown up in your life and has brought you to this point that on a Sunday morning you come in here and you're trying to listen for God's word. And so even though, you know, the original context of this is Jesus last night with his disciples. He's saying this quite literally to the disciples. He's saying, look, you didn't choose me, I chose you, right? Because he did. You know, he's walking around the Sea of Galilee. They're cleaning their nets. And he says, come with me, I'll make you fishers of men. They drop everything and they follow him. That's what happened. He chose them. They didn't choose him. He chose the disciples. They didn't choose him. They didn't come to Jesus and go, can we follow you? He found them and chose them. So this is literally, he's telling them literally what happened. But it's also true of us today, that God somehow has shown up for us. Another guy that I really enjoyed lately is Will Willimon, who's been the pastor at the Duke Chapel. And he said this, and I quoted this at Easter, and I love it. He says, why are you here praying these prayers, singing these hymns? God Almighty decided not to be the God ruling in heaven without you. I'm sure if we had time to tell you, we could tell stories about faithful parents, some weird thing that happened to you on the highway one night, something that happened one time when you heard a hymn sung. But in some way or other, the risen Christ came back for you. And so you look at that and you realize, yeah, you know, it's true. Jesus chose me. And it's not always because we just immediately wanted that. A lot of us have resisted it. A lot of us flee God. A lot of us reject God. But God never rejects us. C.S. Lewis, famous Christian writer whose books have borne fruit in my life, wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, Mere Christianity. He was one who ran from God, and he wrote about he was an atheist throughout his life up until he went to college at Oxford. And listen to the way he talks about his conversion. He says, amiable agnostics will talk cheerfully about man's search for God. To me, as I then was, they might as well have talked about the mouse's search for the cat. You must picture me alone in that room in Magdalen night after night, feeling, whenever my mind lifted even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet, that which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed, perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. God keeps after us. God keeps showing up. God keeps choosing us. Even if we reject it, God keeps after us. And that's something we can really be rejoiced about today, is that, as Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And then he adds to that this other thing. I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. And that too is something to rejoice in. The word appointed is in the Greek is called tithnai. It's like tithe, N-A-I, tithnai. And it's a verb that means I gifted you. I gifted you. And what it means is that God has given us the ability not just to bear fruit, but God has given us the ability to bear fruit that lasts. And that's really something, to bear fruit that lasts. You think about that. So many things in our world that people are doing don't last. So many things are a flash in the pan. And that's true in churches, too. You know, I mean, it's true. I remember when I was in that Christian band, we played on the PTL club in Charlotte, Jim Baker and Tammy Faye. And that was a big deal. It was a worldwide TV network. And they had they then went to Fort Mill, South Carolina, and produced this thing called Heritage USA. Had a big hotel. It had amusement park. It had an amphitheater, and it was all this Christian entertainment. And it was a big deal. And that place is no more. For all the money that was spent, it went away because the leader, Jim Baker, embezzled money and was put in jail, and it all crumbled. It didn't last. That fruit didn't last. And so it doesn't always last in the church. You know, we have to still follow Jesus all the way through and not get selfish. But that's what God has gifted us with, is God has gifted us with the ability to bear fruit that lasts. And I'm amazed sometimes that it will. You know, just in my ministry, I'm amazed when I find out that things have happened and fruit, stuff that I've done is still happening. It's amazing to me. And that happens with you. That will happen with you no matter what you do. The fact that you're abiding in Christ and you're producing fruit that lasts. It's going to last. And so please keep on keeping on. Keep on having that Christian attitude of service and of realizing that just your witness, just your life can touch people's lives in ways that you may not even know. I got a Facebook message this week that was astounding to me. And it was from the first church I was in after seminary. And it was from, she's a grown woman now, but back then she was a sixth grader. And I knew her basically as a younger sister of a little girl who used to babysit for us. And when I would take her sister home, I would see this little girl. And, you know, I guess Annette and I were in that church and we interacted with them. But out of the blue this week, I got this message that said, "Jim, I just want to say thank you. I'm not sure if you were aware of my home life or not, but it was horrible. You and Annette showed me what love and kindness were and gave me hope." And that's amazing to me that all these years later, she reaches out like that and does that. And I honestly did not know I was doing that. I don't think Annette did either. I mean, we were just living our lives as Christian people, and that had that effect. And that's why I think this verse that says, "I'm gifting you to bear fruit that will last," is so important to realize that just following Jesus, abiding in Christ, produces fruit that is long-lasting fruit, and you may not even know it in all the places that it happens. All we were doing was living our lives in front of this sixth grade girl, and yet this many years later, as a middle-aged woman, she wanted to reach out and say, "Thank you for showing me what love and kindness were and giving me hope." That is, and I'm not saying this to make us look so great at all. I'm just trying to give you this example because I'm kind of blown away by it, really. But it's just an amazing thing. And it's right here in this scripture. It says it, that I've appointed you, I've gifted you, given you the ability to bear fruit that will last. So rejoice in that, folks. Rejoice that you have that. Wherever your sphere of influence is today, you know, like I said, if it's your work, if it's the people that you're tasked with working for, or children that you're teaching, or people that you're coaching, or, you know, scouts that you're trying to train, whatever you do, whatever you're doing, that you're going to bear fruit, even sometimes that you're not going to even know about. And it's right there. It's right there. Okay, so two more things, and these just go by real fast because they're just two phrases at the end of that sentence. And it says, go and bear fruit that will last, and this, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So because we are being gifted with this fruit, it says that if we pray in Jesus' name, God's going to give us what we ask. Now that, you got to understand that in Jesus' name is an important part of it, because you can't just pray anything and you say, "I want $1 million bucks, you know, or $1 million Bitcoin. Whatever you want to pray for. You have to pray in Jesus' name. And when you pray in Jesus' name, it's kind of like when Sir Walter Raleigh steps on the North Carolina shore and plants the flag of England in the beach, and he says, "I claim this in the name of Queen Elizabeth." He's saying, "This, I am acting as if Queen Elizabeth were stepping on this beach, as if Queen Elizabeth was here." And so what this is saying is if you pray in Jesus' name, you're saying, I'm praying as if Jesus was praying this. So you can't, if you got, you're mad at somebody, you can't pray that, you know, their house will burn down and their wife will leave them. You can't, you know, you got to love your enemies and you got to be sure you're praying the way Jesus would pray. But as you grow in faith, as you abide and bear fruit that lasts, what's going to happen is your prayer life is going to get more effective because you are going to have more of a heart like Jesus and pray more like Jesus would in Jesus' name. And that's what that means. So rejoice that your prayer life will get better. And then finally, he says, I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. And that's the final result of this whole thing. He's leaving his disciples, and they haven't always gotten along real well. You know, they got in arguments and stuff. But he's saying, I'm giving you this that you're going to abide in me and I in you, and you're going to have my joy in you because you're going to bear fruit, pray in my name, and that's going to give you love for one another because you're going to understand each other. You're going to see the presence of Jesus in each other, and you're going to be attracted to that presence of Christ in each other. And so all of this is in his final, like, hurrah, his final goodbye to the disciples. So Jesus, as he leaves, he promises joy. And the way he promises joy is in all these things, that we are chosen, that we are given the ability to bear fruit that will last, that we have, that we're given a great prayer life, and that we're going to be given love for each other. So, you know, I know it's a hard time. I know things are changing now. Our lives are changing. We have a phrase in our family that the future always arrives just before we're ready to give up the present. And whenever we have people graduating and moving on, whenever we have all of these things, you know, and holidays like Christmas and Mother's Day, where we think about other Christmases and other Mother's Days and who was with us then and who's not with us now, you know, all that stuff's going on. And ministry and Christian life happens not in the absence of that, but in the middle of it, in the middle of it. And what Jesus is saying, let my joy be in you so that your joy will be complete. That we have all these things because we're in Christ, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. No matter what's happened this year, and lots happened, we still have the Holy Spirit in us giving us this joy and giving us this ability, this amazing ability to bear fruit that lasts. I'm going to finish with the second part of the Will Willimon quote that I gave at Easter, just because I just love it too much. I probably shouldn't quote it so often, but I really, really love it. He said, sometimes we say, since I accepted Jesus, since I took Jesus into my heart, I. The astounding thing is not that you made a decision for Christ. The astounding thing we learn at Easter is that God Almighty made a decision for us. Christ keeps coming to those of us who have absolutely no way of coming to him. Easter keeps happening. The God who raised crucified Jesus from the dead refuses to be God without you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for choosing us. We probably wouldn't have had the good sense to choose you if it was up to us, but thank you for choosing us. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit and the power to grow fruit, to bear fruit that lasts. We don't know all the ways that you are influencing other people through our lives. But help us, oh God, to maintain a good witness. Help us to maintain our relationship with you and our testimony about your goodness to us, that people would know why we're in a relationship with you and why we have joy, why we have peace, and why we care, why we have love for each other. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, amen.